lot of people don't understand what it means to become a Christian. It depends on really where they are, when the Holy Spirit calls them, when he asks them to respond to the wooing of him, the Holy Spirit. But there is one thing that is absolutely necessary for all of us if we are going to be a real born again child of God, and that is change. We cannot be what we were and still be a Christian. A lot of people think that this is a decision that they make in their mind. It's not. It's a decision that is made in the heart. And that is where God wants to work. Now, I can't see any of your hearts. I can't change any of your hearts. And I cannot save and have never saved a single person. I've been in ministry over 50 years, but I have not ever saved a single person because I don't have that ability. Only God does. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the title of my message this morning, it's going to come from Scripture, but its change is absolutely necessary. And I want to use Romans 6:6 as a jumping off place for each of us this morning. We gather here. If I were to ask you why you're here, it's certainly not for the good food. Now, some of us do like donuts. I know one in particular that likes, apple fritters, but he doesn't always eat them. He does. I've actually seen him refrain from it one time. And okay, but anyway, we meet together here to learn about God, to prepare our hearts to become something that God wants them to be, because you are the object of his love. He loves everyone who's gathered here this morning. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what you are now. God loves you. He wants you to love him back, and he wants you to know how you can be what he wants you to be. So in Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we, that's you and I, should not serve sin. Now, there are many people that don't like change. They get comfortable with things the way they are, and they are satisfied with the way things are going, and they don't want to make any change, no matter who might bid them to make that change. I am not one who loves change for change's sake, but I know, because of the time that I have walked with Jesus Christ and the time I have walked with God and been led by his Holy Spirit, that there is change necessary in my life and change necessary in my heart. And the New Testament, Paul the Apostle, writes about it. He talks about the old man and the new man. And he wants all of us to be new men and women. New men and women. Because he wants to use us to be a blessing to the people he is going to bring into our life. He does. There are people out there who are hungry for the truth. There are people out there that want to be loved. That was one of the things that Helen told me last night. She just wants to be loved. And you ladies have been doing a good job of that. She is so encouraged every time you visit her. But she wants to be loved. We all do. I want to be loved. And yet, we do things sometimes that are unlovely. Things that people think, you know, well, I'm not going to love him. He's one of those. That could mean anything today. Without change, a person cannot become a Christian. Folks, if you went into a church and you walked the aisle and you came up here and you shook the pastor's hand and you said some kind of a prayer, that doesn't mean that you are different. That just means that you walked the aisle, you shook a hand, and you prayed a prayer. And like I mentioned in Sunday school, I know for a fact of at least one person who has prayed for 7 years and the Lord has never heard the first word. Because I have shared this with the church at least a half dozen times a year for 7 years. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God tells us, King David wrote about it, the Lord will not hear me. So if we want God to hear our prayer, if we want God to be able to answer our prayer, we must make sure there is no iniquity in our heart. And the old man that the Bible talks about is full of iniquity. That's all he was. He was iniquity. He got that from Adam. And it came on down to generation after generation after generation after generation. And that was the old man. When we got saved, when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we believed that he rose from the dead after dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for our sin, when we believed that, a new man was born in us. That doesn't mean that the old man died. It just meant that he had some competition. And for some of us, he's got more competition than he thinks he does. And I'm so glad. As your pastor, I want to see all of us experience change in our relationship to Jesus Christ, in our relationship to God. That is the purpose for which we are here this morning. We are not here for any other purpose. We're not here to take your money. Now, some of you might think that. We're glad to get it, but that's not the primary purpose we're here. We are here to learn about what will please God in our hearts, in our lives, so we can do a better job of serving him. Once we are saved, we are no longer responsible for serving ourselves. We are serving God. We become his servant. And it takes an effort on all of our parts to be more like Jesus. That has been a prayer of mine for years, that the Lord would make me more like Jesus. You know, Jesus never hated anybody. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he didn't hate them. He hated what they did. But he didn't hate them. He loved them. He wanted to see them saved. And he wants to see everyone here in North Charleston, everybody in South Carolina. We are told in 2 Peter that it's God's will that none should perish, but all should come unto repentance. All, everybody. Now, once we've read Scripture, then we are supposed to understand what God wants from us. We are supposed to understand, but there are passages that are difficult. There are passages that I don't wear steel-toed boots, folks, but I do wear boots. And that's so people won't step on my toes. And sometimes God steps on my toes as I'm preparing one of these messages. And if he does step on your toes, okay, excuse him. Let him change you. Let him make a change in your life. Let him make a change in your heart. Let him make a change in your purpose for living. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, Paul writing to the Ephesian church to try and correct some difficulties that they were having, he had this to say, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Folks, if you're not a Jew this morning, if you're sitting here and you have never been a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's all there is in this world, Jews and Gentiles. So you are a Gentile. And Paul talks about the Gentiles, that's us folks, walking in the vanity of our mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not learned that from Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Remember? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. His name was Jesus. He is the Word. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, get rid of him, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants each one of us to be holy. He sees each one of us who knows Jesus Christ as being holy, not our holiness, because we're not holy, but Jesus Christ is. And he sees us through that holiness. Jesus Christ has cloaked us with his righteousness. Now, I've been told by more than one or two people that we have those in our congregation that do not want to change in our ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've overheard conversations that would indicate that there was dissatisfaction with our efforts to do things differently than they have been done in the past. Folks, we can't live in the past. God lived then, but God lives in the future, and we are to live in the future. We are to live for tomorrow. We are to live for tomorrow. And some days, God will give us tomorrow. Once in a while, he does not. Just like he did with Miss Patsy here a couple weeks ago. And what he may do with Miss Helen, I don't know. Because I don't know God that well that he tells me what he's going to do in any of our lives. All of us need to be prepared to meet God on a moment's notice. On a moment's notice. There are people who are not comfortable with change. I understand that. The way that we do things in order to improve our effectiveness for the Lord. People, we're meeting here together this morning because each one of us, I trust that you want to be a better servant of Jesus Christ. And you have come here this morning to hear what God's Word tells us and to respond to it as the Word of God. It is not my Word. It's God's Word. It is not my idea. It is God's mind shared with us. It is God's love shared with us in His Word. I don't know if you've noticed, someday when you come into church, just stop, not out here in front where people are coming across the road, but stop someplace where you can see the sign and just watch the sign out front. It says right now, and Diana helped me do this. I couldn't do it myself. I tried, but she helped. We preach, we believe, and we attempt to practice the Bible. We invite you to join us to experience the Word of God. And that's why we are here this morning, is to experience the Word of God. I hope that everybody understands that we don't make changes without a scriptural reason to make a change. When a person gets saved by placing their trust in Jesus Christ and faith in the work that He did on Calvary, we enter our prayer as sinners, but we merge as a child of God. And I hope this morning that everybody knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because that means that God the Father is your Father and you are His child. We're changed when that happens. We are changed. Our hearts are changed. Our minds are changed. And we live for the Lord, and we read and study His Word so we can be better servants. The Apostle Paul writes about the change by referring to the old man. The old man is put away. The new man, he is called in to take the old man's place. Every person sitting in this sanctuary this morning, right now, is either an old man who is practicing and living what they have always done, sin, or they are the new man who is actively learning to live for Jesus and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are no other choices. It's either the old man or the new man. Jesus Christ, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, creates the new man in each one of us. Now, I've been serving the Lord for at least 50 years. I've not always been faithful, and maybe you have not always been faithful. I've known the Lord 60 years, but I've served Him 50. So, I had to grow in the Lord. Everybody does. Everybody who's ever been saved needs to grow in the Lord. We are not what we should be, but God wants us to help us be what He wants us to be. Remember the verse that I shared with everybody about that we're going to use this verse for February when we have special meetings with Mike Schrock, Isaiah 57:15. I've forgotten a couple Sundays to say it with you. Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 57:15. Let's say that out loud together. Isaiah 57:15. All right, let's read it together out loud. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. That's why we're here, folks. That's why we're here. We're not here for any special benefit other than what we're going to let God do in our hearts. And I believe that everyone in our church family needs the same thing to happen in their hearts. Folks, there is a time. Like I said, I've been a Christian 60 years. That doesn't seem possible, but I have been. November 5th, 1961, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I remember that, didn't realize that I'd had a birthday recently, but I did, okay. But God wants to use you to share the joy in your heart with someone else who needs that joy. It could be a loved one, it could be a child, it could be somebody you don't know, you've never met before. But God wants to be able to reach out and use you as his servant to tell somebody about Jesus. If there was a time when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if there was no change, folks, you are not saved this morning. Think about that for a minute. Jesus changed your heart, didn't he? Didn't he touch your heart and change it? And suddenly you were not interested in the things you had been interested before. You were interested in him and serving him and doing what he wants. And you became interested in this book because this book tells us what we have to do. Now, Paul talked to the Ephesian church about the old man and the new man. He does the same thing to the church at Colossae. Colossians 3, 1 through 14. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. This is very important, folks, that we do this. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's a promise. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God has come upon the children of them, of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. He is saying here, Paul is saying here to the church of Colossae, everybody is the same in God's sight. Nobody is special in this church. Everybody has the same relationship to God if they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And folks, that's how we ought to live. People ought to see him in us. When we are out there in public, when we are doing whatever we are doing, they need to see Jesus Christ. And that's why we are here. That's why we gather here three times a week. That's why we're going to fellowship and give him thanks next Sunday for all that he has done for us in all these years. Just think of where he has taken you. Think of how he has provided for you. Think of how he has loved you. That's God. That's Jesus Christ. That's what your life is all about. Him, them. I would like to be able to say that Jesus is in the heart of every one on our church roll. But I do have questions. I'd like to paraphrase what we have just read and what's been said by Paul as he addresses what we find written in this epistle of encouragement. By the way, Colossians is an epistle of encouragement. He doesn't chasten the church, and he's not going to chasten our church. He's going to try and encourage us. He's going to try and use us. He's going to try and make us something special. Not so we get proud. We don't want to be proud. We want to be humble. We want to show contrition for our sins. But Paul starts off with a required qualification for the one saying that they are saved. Our focus must change from the world to Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. Folks, we are not to love the world. We are not to love the world. The world has no part with God. The world doesn't want anything to do with him. But folks, we love him because he first loved us. This is the point where many who profess to be Christians go astray. And let me just share it with you. They don't give up the things of the world. They don't give up the things of the world. And think about this. But they hang on to them, and they get so mired up in the world that they don't actually die to self, but continue to live among the things of the world. We are all here because I believe we all love Jesus. If we have a problem enter our life, don't go out there and look for a solution. Look for it right here. Look for it in here, because it is there. God has placed the Holy Spirit in your heart to help you overcome any problem. He has told you in this book, we call it the Bible, we call it the Word of God, because in this book, he tells us how to deal with the problems that we have in our life. And we need to obey it. If I were to ask you a question this morning, what fruit do you have in your life? What evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit do you have in your life? I'd like you to think about that. Could you prove, if you were required to, that you were a Christian? Could you have a relationship with God that shows? You know, I don't believe that God has ever done anything to hurt anybody. He chastens us sometimes. We need it. But I don't believe God has ever done anything bad to anyone. Now, the Bible tells us just the opposite. Jimmy Hucks and I kidded about it. We've kidded about it for years. Romans 8:28. You know what Romans 8:28 is? All things work together for bad? No. For good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He has called you. He has called each one of you. If you have responded to that call and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then anything that he brings into your life is for your good. Oh, Brother Ken, how can cancer be for my good? Maybe it's going to give you a chance to witness to somebody who's going to be taking care of you. And they're going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because they see him in your life. Maybe. When you hear a person who claims to be saved bragging about all the stuff they have in this world, folks, that person's probably not saved. That person's exercising pride. That person is bragging on themselves, not on God. Or you'll hear them complaining about what they don't have that somebody else has. That's not Christianity, folks. Not true Christianity. 1 John 2:15 through 16. Love not the world. That's pretty plain. Neither the things that are in the world. That's also plain. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty easy to understand. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Folks, we want the Father living in our hearts. We want his influence in our lives. And we want to serve him as he wants us to serve. You would be amazed what a blessing he's going to pour out if you are serving him. Oh, it's fantastic, folks. Even on bad days, it's good. I know we all have bad days, but even then, it's good. The Apostle Paul gave us an example of how we were to establish our place in God's will. It's in Philippians 4:11. Philippians 4:11. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And we all need to be content with where God has us in his plan. We need to be content. There will be times when God withholds some of the things that we desire to have. And there will be times when God will abundantly bless us with things we don't deserve, but he will give them to us anyway. Paul had learned to let God do as God saw fit, as God saw appropriate, and to be content with God's provision. The old man wants all he can get. He just wants to have all this stuff. It takes on a different complexion when you live in a mobile home or a small apartment or particularly of a motorhome. It becomes just stuff. Just stuff. I've told you before. I told you about a fellow that we know. He has every National Geographic that has ever been printed. They're in a room about half the size of this auditorium, and they line the walls. Now, he has them. Now, I'll tell you this. You can't eat them. They don't taste very good. I don't know the kind of sauce you would put on a National Geographic to make it palatable. But he has them. And his child, does not want them. So what's going to happen when the Lord takes him home? Folks, we gather up stuff that's meaningless to other people. Oh, it may mean something to us. Our heart might, you know, we may have some emotional connection to the stuff, but it doesn't matter. The only one we need an emotional connection to, he lives right up there. He lives in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has sent his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts to help us to be successful in this life. Paul had learned to let God do as God saw fit. He was content. And when he says he was content to be in whatsoever state he was, That did not mean Florida or Michigan or Virginia, okay, or even South Carolina. It meant that wherever God put him, he was going to be content. Whatever God did with him, he was going to be content. He was going to love God just the same. And keep in mind, Jesus told his disciples, if they believed on him, if they were serving him, that they could call God Daddy. Daddy. You could be that close. The connection could be that wonderful. Imagine calling God Daddy. Well, there'll be other evidences in the life of a Christian. One of the more noticeable things that in saved people's life will be their manners. Their manners. You know, Christians are not supposed to be ill-mannered. We're supposed to be polite. Really, that comes with, we want to remember, we're ambassadors for Christ. Jesus was polite. Do you remember him ever telling somebody he hated him? Or was telling somebody that he wasn't going to help him? You remember him ever doing that? No. So our manners also need to reflect our belief in him. And we need to remember, we need to be conduct ourselves so that we do not bring shame upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently, appropriately, on time. If you'll notice how verse 40 starts off, you will see that it is referring to all things. All things. Everything we do needs to be appropriate and on time. That includes manners. One of the distractions that we've had here in the services has been when people have been carrying on conversations. That's not decently in an order. We want to be together, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, focused on what God wants us to do for him through his Holy Spirit. As a part of our love for the brethren, we should be careful not to distract others during the service. We need to be quiet. We need to stay in our place. We need not to talk. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion. And when we have several people talking at the same time, that's confusing. And that has happened here. We're going to change that. We're going to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So as you can begin to see, change is a large part of growing in Jesus Christ. If we serve the Lord, we are going to experience change in many areas of our life. We are new creations in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. And you will continue to experience growth as long as we walk with him. Now, he's going to open new doors for you. And he's going to want you to go through those doors. And for some of us, that's going to be a little scary. But he's got something out there for you, for each one of us. Something that he wants us to do for him. Something that he wants us to commit our life to do. And he's going to open those doors. When we join the Lord in eternity, and one day we will, that's what we're all working towards, we will have reached perfection. Now, don't get a big head about that. It hasn't happened yet. But when we go to be with the Lord, we are going to be perfect. And we have to keep that in mind, that the only time that'll ever happen. So I trust that you realize that you're undergoing change every day as you attempt to serve the Lord. If you're not experiencing change, then you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. And Jesus has told us, walk by sight, not by faith. James told us the same thing. So stop where you are and go to your spiritual knees and seek the Lord's presence to show you what he wants for you as you practice being a new man in him. If you're having trouble with the old man, and we do from time to time, then come walk with one of the leaders in our church and our church family, and let us lead you to the place that God wants you in this ministry. There is a place for each one of you here. Each one, God has a purpose for, a plan for, and there's something he wants you to accomplish. We want to see our Lord using everyone in his ministry. And everything is being done according to his word and his will. May God show you his way for your life. And may you be able to follow it, have the courage to follow. And we'll praise the Lord together as we accomplish what he wants. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for giving us a chance to serve you. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. We ask that you will help us as a church family to do your will in your way and in your time. And Father, may your will be done in each of our hearts. And we will praise you for letting us watch you work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.